Okay, folks, what we're going to discuss, this is our Emunah Vad. That's what we call it. We're discussing the ideas of Emunah, and we're going to try to construct it in a way that we're going to bring out all different types of ideas of Emunah. Emunah is we think of it as being like a very simple thing. It's just like, you know, it's just cut and dry. You have it, you don't have it, finished. But it's totally not like that. There's many different elements of Emunah, many different aspects of Emunah. So we're going to try to discuss them. We're going to try to do it through the parashiyos, starting with parashas Bereishis and Noach a little bit. But being that we're not at Bereishis and Noach, so what we're going to do is, during Elul, we're going to mention I think they're going to start with the certain foundations of Emunah. Aside from that, what I'd like to do during Elul is discuss something else, which is discuss a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the main focus of our Vad is Emunah. The way it works is, during the winter's man, we're going to go through a lot of the foundations of Emunah, through the parashiyos, through the different personalities in the parashiyos. We're going to discuss what each one personifies, which element of Emunah. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, particularly those three we're going to discuss. And then when it comes to the summer, we're going to get into the Yud Gimel Ikrim of Emunah. And hopefully we're going to be able to try to define each one and understand all the different Ikrim. There's certain foundations of Emunah. First, I want to just discuss why Emunah is so critical. And it's something which, I'm telling you, it's like a very big problem that the yeshivas don't discuss this. Because the way the yeshiva format was built was that really there are certain things that were givens. And it was a given. Yeshiva wasn't like even going to deal with that, because that was like a given. I'll give you an example. Okay, I remember this very clearly. This happened to me when I was a bachur. I was in 10th grade. And one of the rabbeim, he was like old school rabbi. And he asked a question on Navi, like, I don't know, like Yirmiyah or something like that. Something like that. And he asked the boy a question. The boy says, I don't know. He says, why don't you know? The boy said, because we never learned Yirmiyah in school. So the Rebbe said, we have to teach you everything. So the Rebbe said, we were looking at him like, yeah, you have to teach us everything. What was I going to do? You know, and then we go home, we play ball. You know, we're not like, we don't teach it to us, we're not learning it. That's the way it goes. We're close enough in generation that I think we have that same thing in common, which is, I mean, you guys maybe don't even learn what they teach you, but I learned at least, I mean, we tried at least to learn, we didn't. But we tried to learn what they were teaching us, but, I mean, what they're not teaching us, forget it. It's just not even going to, you know, we don't even like, how could you expect me to know that? But back in the day, they expected you to know a lot of things. They expected you to do Shnei Mikuvecha Targum, your own time. That's like a given. Everyone's doing the parasha. You know, Halacha, your own time. Navi, those were things that were given. Emunah, Musar, stuff like that, you're supposed to know that on your own. And because that was the given, and what happened was, it wasn't happening, so the most critical parts of our Judaism were missing. The foundations, the bedrock. There's people, you go to big yeshivas, I'm not going to say the names, but you can figure it out. Big, big yeshiva. You go, why are you learning? They look at you like you're crazy. Like, well, what are you asking me stupid questions for? Ask me a kashan, a ketzayusan, a rajman, a toysus. Come on, let's talk. I'm like, wait a whole. But why? Why are you on this world? Like, we don't want to talk about those things. What do you mean? You don't even know why you're doing it. A lot of people are doing it. And it could be they're going to be okay because they love doing it or they're committed to it or whatever. Or they're good enough at it that, you know, they're never going to, like, get into any issues. But the fact is they got no clue why they're doing what they're doing. You know why? Because we didn't even bother ever teaching the basics because it was a given. But what happens when you don't even, like, no one ever, like, takes care of the givens and all, they're always busy with, you know, they're busy with the calculus. I mean, you don't know what 1 + 1 equals. So for some of them, it's okay because they managed to do well at that. But for many people, the foundations of their Judaism is totally, totally, like, it's empty. It's there's nothing there. And when something comes, like, you know, that shakes a little bit the building, the whole thing comes crashing down. Because they never really know why they're doing it in the first place. So Emunah is so critical. And there's a problem that it's not being taught in yeshivas. Listen to the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. You know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave lots and lots of mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave? 613 mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. The Gemara says, yeah, but if you really want to, like, kind of, like, focus on just a couple of mitzvahs, says the Gemara came along David HaMelech, and David HaMelech said, look, you can focus on like a smaller number of mitzvahs, not because the other ones you shouldn't do, but that's really where it all like comes from. Then comes Chizkiyahu, and like, you know, like, kind of like he shrunk it to another. Comes Chavakuk. Bo Chavakuk, says the Gemara, V'hemidom al achas. Chavakuk said, it all boils down to one thing. What's that one thing? Tzadik, be'emunosai, yichya. It all boils down to having emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emunah is the bedrock, the foundation of every single thing we're doing in our entire day. Is emunah. And if you don't understand your emunah, you don't live your emunah, you don't have your emunah in the right place, so then everything is on shaky ground. Everything. Emunah is the foundation of everything. What we're doing now is so critical. I want to explain to you. Emunah does not necessarily mean you know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emunah means you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because a lot of us have what we'll call theoretical Emunah. A lot of us, we know conceptually about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Emunah means living it. That's what Emunah means. Emunah means that it's a part of your life. And I'll tell you a story. This is a story that I want to try to bring out this idea a little bit. Okay? It's a story about someone that's very dear to my heart. His name is the Rebbe Reb Herschel. The Rebbe Reb Herschel was a Rebbe. He wasn't a Chassidish Rebbe. He was before the Chassidim. Any of you ever heard of the Rebbe Reb Herschel? None of you ever heard of it? You heard of him?
Yeah.
Just making that up. No, you know, he's very popular. Rebbe Herschel was famous. He wrote a sefer called Chanukah Satoira. The Rebbe Herschel is buried in Krakow, in the big basin forest in Krakow. There's a basin forest there. The shul, the Ramos shul is in Krakow. In the back, there's like an unbelievable basin forest there. The Rebbe Herschel is buried there, Chanukah Satoira. He was an exceptional person. And he was the Gadol Hadar. He was the undisputed Gadol Hadar. And he was the Rebbe of the Shach and the Rebbe of the Taz. He was big, big stuff, the Rebbe of Herschel. Okay? This one once had a dream that he has the neshama of Rabbeinu Tam. He was like huge. He was big, big stuff. Now what happened was this famous. Now the story is, there's numerous different versions, but they all go basically the same type of thing. The Rebbe Herschel was saying shi one day. And he was having a very difficult time with a Tosfos. He's trying to figure out this Tosfos. And he's sitting there with the Tosfos. And he says, I don't know, the Marshal has Pshat in Tosfos. But the Marshal's Pshat in Tosfos doesn't make any sense. Got that? All of a sudden the lights went out in the basement. And one of his talmidim, he sends him to go next door to get a light. He goes next door. The Taz sends the Taz next door. You can read this story. I have it. It's one of the books here from Yori Weinstock. Remember we showed you Yori at Matzah Shabbos? He writes this story. I asked him about where he got the version of the story. I once spoke to him about it because there's different versions. I could show you the different versions. Taz goes next door to get a light, and all of a sudden he's overcome by tremendous weakness, and the Taz falls asleep, and he has a dream, and in the dream the Marshal comes to him, and the Marshal tells him that Rebbe Herschel was mezalzel in my kavod, saying what I said makes no sense. I don't want to tell you what I meant, and this is pshat in the Tosfos. And then the Taz wakes up, brings a light into the room, comes in, tells the Rebbe Reb Herschel, he says, maybe this is what the Marshal meant. After Shir, the Rebbe Reb Herschel tells the Taz, I want you to wait here, I need to talk to you. After Shir says, where'd you get that from? He says, I know you, you're my Talmud. That was not your pshat. You got that from somewhere. Where'd you get that from? He said, Rebbe, I got it from the Marshal himself. And he told me that in Shemayim they're upset because you're mezalzel like in his covenant. He said, it makes no sense. There's a kitrig on you in a Shemayim. and you're gonna have to have some sort of punishment. So Masha told me you have a choice. Either from today on, you'll have no more Talmidim, and your whole yeshiva is gonna be shut down, or you'll never have any Svarim written. It's your choice. No Svarim, no Talmidim. You choose. This was the Rebbe of Herschel's quandary. Yeah, because he did something mezalzel in the cover of a Talmud Chacham. He decided no Svarim. The reason you boys never heard of the Rebbe of Herschel is because he doesn't have any Svarim. He's got no Svarim. Now you're going to hear about him. I mean, if you're a historian, for sure we know the Rebbe of Herschel. What'd you say? So there's a sefer called Chanukas HaTorah, which is different pieces in different places, but if you look in the Chanukas HaTorah, in the front, it speaks about how all his manuscripts, either they got burnt in a fire, they got lost, they drowned at sea, everything's gone. All of his ksav, nothing left. There's a famous kashif of the Rebbe Herschel in Yevamis, and every once in a while they quote him from here and quote him from there, but Lamaisa, nothing left. So the story goes that the Rebbe Herschel had one stack of notes, which he called it his kuntres amavakam. And everything else is gone. It's burnt, everything's gone. He's got one stack of notes. The Rebbe Herschel wanted to print. How can he print? He already accepted on himself. He's not printing. He said, listen, I'm not allowed to suffer, but this is my baby. This is my baby. So my baby is a different story. I'm allowed to have kids. I'm allowed to have Talmidim. This is my baby. This is not just a sefer. This is mamish like my own son. This I could print. And he sent his Talmidim to print. He wanted to print the Ksavim. Now he lived in Krakow, Brisk in Krakow, that area, and the printing press was in Amsterdam. Had to go overseas in order to get to Amsterdam. He sent one of his closest Talmidim to take his precious Ksavim. Now you understand, there's no photocopy machines, you know what I mean? This is the only copy. And he took it on a boat to Amsterdam, and guess what happened?
Good job.
The boat sunk, and the Ksavim are gone. Tama comes back, and he's talking with the boys. He's like, someone's going to have to break the news to Rebbe, because he's not going to take it well. How do they do it? So someone suggests, one of the Talmidim says, I offer to do it. He goes in. Rebbe says, this is Rebbe. I don't understand. Chazal say, Kol man David Rachman al-Latov. Everything Hashem does is for the best. I don't understand. But there's so many people that, you know, they go through sickness. Sickness is so hard. It's so difficult. How could it be for the good? So his Rebbe starts talking to him, the Rebbe of Herschel, and says, you understand that even when a person goes through sickness, it's good, it's a kapara, and it's right for him, and really in Shemayim, and really it's all only because of Kodesh Baruch Hu loves him. He says, but sometimes people suffer such terrible tragedies. Sometimes people, Rahman al-Islam, there's death, there's difficult things. He goes, even when a person suffers death in his family, and it's even that is really for Hashem, it's good, Hashem really does. It's very bad. I don't understand. Sometimes there's something that's so close to a person's heart, and he cares about it so much, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it away from it. It's for the good. He says, yes, even that's right. He says, even if a person would work so hard on his ksavim, and they would all be lost at sea, it would also be for the good. And the Rebbe of Herschel looks at him, and he faints. There's a big crash. The Talmidim come running in. They revive him. The Rebbe of Herschel, he gets up. He understood what happened. And he says, boys, if it wasn't for the Chachma of this Talmud, I probably would have died. But he got me to a place where it was still very hard for me. But I'm here. I got it. I made it. Now, what am I bringing out from this story? Emuna is not something that Rebbe Herschel knew before the conversation, after the conversation. He knew everything is for the good. He learned it. Chazal say, everything Hashem does is for the good. But Emuna is when your heart's in it. When you could feel that way. When you know, when you stub your toe and you're like, okay, it's for the good. You tear tendons in your ankle, which is what I did, and you're like, okay, it's for your good. When you break your foot, it's for the good. right? Then there's different degrees. It's like much easier when you just stub your toe to say it's for the good. It's like not so big deal. You know what I mean? Okay. So I stub my toe. It's all fine. It's all good. It's like you tear tendons. Okay. It's like a little bit harder. You break your foot. It's a little bit harder. But a person, Rahman al-Islam, who has an amputation, that's pretty hard. Right? It depends on how much you feel your emuna. How are you going to be able to deal with that? Tzadik b'emunah, so yichya. Are you living your emuna? And a person that doesn't remind himself of emunah, work on his emunah, so he might know it intellectually. But when these things happen, he gets all upset and frustrated and angry. He's not living emunah. That's a big problem, that the world is not, they're not focusing on emunah. It doesn't become something that we deal with. It's like, come on, this is like, this is basics. This is ABCs. We have to try to learn how to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us at every moment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us, and every single thing he's doing is for our best. If you could do that, you're living on a whole different plane. That's tzadik be'emunasoy yichyeh. We're living that. We're living a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to work on all the different ideas of emunah. There's different facets of emunah. We're going to try to remind ourselves to the point that our day is going to be a whole different day. You know, you put your money in a machine and the money doesn't come out, and you're like banging on the machine, kicking it, screaming and yelling. You're so angry, right? It's all good. It's a whole different approach. It's a whole different approach to life, living with emunah. It'll change your day. You know, a person is driving a car and all of a sudden he's got to get to a very important meeting, and all of a sudden he gets a flat tire. You know, you know the expletives that he wants to say, the curses that he wants to like get out of his mouth, you know, but the person is like, listen, Akash Baruch, oh, it's all good. It's all from you. Right? You could live that way. It's a whole different type of life. It's a whole different quality of life. Nothing to get angry about. Nothing to get upset about. Nothing to be afraid of. It's a person who really lives within emunah. And that's what we're going to try to give to. We're trying to impart. Now, before we do that, we're going to discuss Eretz Yisrael. Now, Eretz Yisrael is the land of emunah. That's what it is. For numerous reasons. We mentioned that Eretz Yisrael is referred to, we mentioned the first Shmuz. Any remember what we said Eretz Yisrael is referred to as? Eretz Hatzvi. You remember we said that? Any of you were here when we said that? Eretz Hatzvi. Why is it called Eretz Hatzvi?
Because the mold fits in the skin.
It doesn't fit in the skin. If you would skin a deer and try to get the flesh back in, you won't be able to stuff it back in, it won't fit. But we mentioned Tzvi is actually Rosh Tevois for something else. What's that?
Tzadik
Bamunasai Yichya. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Hatzvi. You want to know why? This is the land of emunah right here. And the pasuk says, it was in last week's parasha, the week before, Eretz asher einei Hashem Elokecha ba mereishis hashana ad acharis shana, which means it's the land that Hashem's eyes are on from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Hashem, this like special type of hashgacha in this land. Yeah, it's a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this land. This land is a place where a person can really build a real emunah. I don't wish it on any of you or any of us to be here during times of war. But when you're here, it's absolutely amazing. It's amazing. I was here as the Gulf War was unfolding. Now I want to explain to you what's happening in the Gulf War. And what we're going to speak about is speak about Eretz Yisrael and different things, different tkufas. But now I want to talk about the Gulf War for a second. The Gulf War was Saddam Hussein's first real encounter with the United States of America. What he did was Saddam Hussein took over a place called Kuwait, which is right next door. He decided he wants Kuwait. America likes Kuwait. So America decided they're attacking Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein wants to get back at America, so he says he's going to attack Israel. Israel didn't do anything wrong here. We're just bystanders. But you attack us, we're going to attack Israel. Again, Saddam Hussein attacked Kuwait. America likes Kuwait. So America says, we're going to attack you. Says Saddam, you attack us, we're attacking Israel. Israel's like, could you leave me out of this, please? I don't want anything to do with this. Israel doesn't like Kuwait. Kuwait hates Israel. When Israel attacked the nuclear reactor in Iraq, who was the first country to condemn Israel?
Kuwait. Okay, so Kuwait hates Israel. Okay, there's no love over here. You know what I mean? They hate us. We hate them. Fine. We're gonna attack us because you like. We were happy to just stay out of it, but no. Saddam Hussein is. I'm gonna attack Israel, and I'm going to destroy this country. And he said the following thing. This is going to be the mother of all wars. Now, if you put that in the backtrack of World War I and World War II, he's like, you know, he's talking big over here, Saddam Hussein, right? He's talking really big. This is going to be the mother of all wars. I'm in Israel at the time. I'm, 17 years old, whatever it was, you know, trying to have a good time in Israel and everything, and like, okay, now it's going to be the mother of all wars. He's threatening chemical warfare. Gas masks, whole situation. Okay? This is not, you were not alive yet when this was going on. That was the second Iraq. That was the next one. This is the first one. No one knows what's going to happen. All we know is Saddam Hussein is saying, I'm going to drop, what are those big things called? Scud missiles with chemical warfare. I'm going to kill all of you. Israel has no anti-missile type of technology. Nothing. We are sitting ducks. We're all here. They don't have any anti-missile technology. They can't do anything. Can't intercept us. We're dead. That's it. It's done. You know, we're here. And you're in this country, and you're talking to everyone. Very firm people. I don't think there's such a thing as a secular Jew in Israel. Just so you should know. They call themselves chilonim, and I insist that they're not non-religious. Because, you know, Hashem Yazor. What does that mean, Hashem Yazor? It's going to be okay. This is a very religious person. Your life is about, you're about to die. Saddam Hussein says he's going to kill you. Right? And everyone's calm. Everyone's like going about their business. Hashem Yazor.
Only the Americans are running.
And the Americans are like, we're out of here. You know, we got to get, you know, gas masks. You know, it's not like, you know, you have to, they're telling us you have to, like, you know, cover your windows, and you have to shoot yourself with this thing, which you're gonna have to go to the hospital afterwards. And it's like, this is like not, you know, very not simple. And the Maisa, right? It was Baruch Hashem. There was like practically no fatalities. You want to go into the two people that died for whatever reason, and I haven't gone into all the different stories. Whatever, one person died of a heart attack because they got so nervous that they died of a heart attack, and one other person died. Whatever, but practically nobody. This is a land where people, there's so much emunah that's ingrained in the people here. The people that live in this country. That's why I tell people, you know, is a person chiloni. What is chiloni? I mean, secular, not religious. So I tell people, I say to someone like, do you, you go to shul? Right? Do you give money to religious causes? Person that gives money to religious cause, you don't believe in it, why give money to religious cause? So you believe in it, you know, and I can't say you live the lifestyle of a religious person, but practically everyone in this country practically is religious. There's a few like real hardcore anti-religious. If you're not anti-religious, pretty much you're religious. There's some people, they're anti-religious. And we're going to go through a little bit the history of this country. A lot of the people that originally set up the country were anti-religious. What I mean by that, they take kids that came to Israel. They'll take them to clubs on Yom Kippur and make them eat pork. Those are anti-religious people. They'll take kids that are from religious families. And this is not something we're making up stories. It's documented. They'll bring kids over. They'll bring them into on Yom Kippur. Bring them to clubs, party, Yom Kippur, with pork. Because we want to eradicate religion. There are such people. And there's not that many left anymore. But this country really, like, there's a certain vibe here that helps us to be able to. But we have to know what Amun is. So we're going to do Beis Hashem for the course of the next month. Is we're going to discuss a little bit about Eretz Yisrael to kind of get familiar with what Eretz Yisrael is about. Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, Tveria, Chevron, all these different places. I want you to know a little bit about it. Be'er Sheva. I think it's a little bit like embarrassing sometimes. Bachim come to Eretz Yisrael and they're here for like a while and they don't. I don't know if Be'er Sheva is like anywhere near, you know, like Nahariya or not, and it's like, you know, like, you know, like the different, they don't know anything. So we'll give you a little bit of what we'll call Yediata Aretz, a little bit about Eretz Yisrael, a little about the historical, the different, the facts of what happened to Eretz Yisrael, when we came to Eretz Yisrael, the different wars, and the different personalities that helped to build Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're going to do in Elul. And Bezrat Hashem, after Sukkot, we're going to get more involved in, you know, the practical side of Emuna, Beis Hashem with Siyat Dishmaya. These are two svarim over here that we use. This is Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. It's called Tiv Emuna. You have it in Hebrew and in English. This is The Hearts Full of Faith by Rav Matisyahu Salomon, which is also a book about Emuna. And then there's another book called The Garden of Emuna, which is by Shalom Arush, those you've probably seen around. Boys, I'm looking forward to getting to know you. Have a great day, everyone.